Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is the Spiritual Breakfast. This is our interview segment from 8:30 to 9:30. And inshallah, it is with Mufti Farhan Karan. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, all well on your side?
Alhamdulillah,
shukar. Gee, how's the weather, Mufti Saab, where you are? Everything well on?
Alhamdulillah, just a bit cold, but I mean, it's winter. You know, seasons change. Allah Ta'ala created four seasons for us.
So we make shukar and we make sabr also. So
some people like winter, and for some reason they like winter and more than summer. I'm a more summer person than a winter person.
Gee, I guess it's because also the nights are longer, and it suits the timetable of people. So people won't change because for deen, but they will tend to change because, or they will tend to try to fit deen into their timetable, which is of course wrong. And we should try. So Fajr suits them perfectly, so they'll read Fajr. So it's about 6 o'clock. You can read it till, I think it's about 10 to 7 almost, depending on the areas.
One masjid in the area has Fajr at 6:30. So if you must anyway, you're still going to catch Fajr.
So it will make sense also to drive to, which area is this?
In Robertson.
Okay. So, Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab. The Mufti Saab has certain pertinent pieces of advice to share with the Ummah. Mufti Saab can begin, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, alameen. Wal-aqibatul muttaqeen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa musaleen. Sayyidina wa habibina wa maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I have this kitab here. It's called Bikr-e-Moti. It's written by Maulana Yunus Patel. About Maulana Yunus Palanpuri Sahib. Very, very important nasihats in this kitab. So everything is
not from the ahadith, but you can, those advices,
you can link it to the ahadith of Rasulullah SAW. So we will just mention a few here. It's regarding poverty and prosperity. Poverty and prosperity. Now there are 7 things mentioned here which will lead a person to poverty, into poverty, and 7 things which will make a person prosperous in his life, in dunya and akhirat. So if we follow these, then inshallah we will have a prosperous life. And if we stay away from these, then we will also live a prosperous life. So as we say, we can link these points to the ahadith of Nabi Sassam. So point number one, the area, things which lead a person into deprivation of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and into difficult times and poverty, hardship. When a person reads his namaz, his salah haphazardly, person is in a hurry to read his salah just to fulfill that I have read my salah, and at times the salah won't even be made, like in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the hadith which I managed to find, which will be suitable for this point, is sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read salah as I read salah, kama ra'aytumuni, read salah like how you see me reading salah. Like as you see me reading salah, read salah in that way. So one sahabi, he came to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he started his salah. And after he completed his salah, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made salam. Assalamu alaykum, ya Rasulullah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go and repeat your salah. Because you did not read your salah. Go and repeat your salah. So he goes and he reads the same salah and he comes back and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi sends him back again. Go and read your salah again. And he comes back again after he's completed his salah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi sends him back. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, gives him some nasihat, that the ruku and the sujood And all the arkan must be fulfilled correctly. And when a person goes into, so what does salah entail? And what are the conditions for salah? And so salah must be full of khushu and khudu. What is that there? Calmness and contentment. And it must be, you must be fully aware that Allah Ta'ala is in front of me. And you must be calm and collected. You must stand in front of Allah Ta'ala with humility, humbleness. That is my Creator in front of me. My Creator is watching me. I'm worshipping my Creator. How can I read Salah in such a haphazard way? It's like, just like you're pecking the ground. One hadith comes, don't read Salah like the pecking of a rooster on the ground. So when we are standing, like look at in front of the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahabi says that Nabi Sassam stood up at night to read Salah, and I stood up, I was reading behind him, and he stood for so long. He started Surah Baqarah. I thought, okay, after Surah Baqarah, he's going to Ruku now. He started the next Surah and the next Surah. He finished about five or six Surahs, and then only Nabi Sassam went into Ruku. And when he went into Ruku, he spent the same time that he spent in Qiyam, in Ruku. And then, when he went in Qawma, he spent the same time that he was in Ruku, in Qiyam. Like that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent the entire night in Salah. And at times, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read so much of Salah, and so long he used to stand in Salah, that his Mubarak feet would swell, because he was standing in the same position for so long. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood that I have to worship my Creator because I owe everything to my Creator. We sin from morning to evening, and we are sinful from head to toe. And yet when we go to the masjid, it is as if we coming to tick off the roll call that I was there for Salah. And we're the last to come in and the first to go out. In Juma Salah is the same. Last to come in and the first to come out. And then we sit there and then we listen to the bayan, criticizing the alim who's speaking there in your mind. And then when you leave the masjid, then these people, they don't go flow with the times. You know, they must go with the times. They don't understand. We're living in different times. And then we want to criticize the alim. But who are we to criticize when we don't even read our salah correctly? It's a different story. Okay, you are a lama, you're a great alim. And now the alim was speaking something batil there. Okay, now you're going to go and tackle him after salah. You know, you said like this, you said like this. But our iman is so weak, and then we want to still criticize the ulama. And a layman, it's like you go to a professor and then you tell him that, you know what, you're speaking nonsense. You know, what you're saying is not actually right. It's supposed to be like this here. But you don't even have knowledge of that science. And so coming back to the point here, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to stand for so long. The Aisha even told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, why do you stand for so long? Look at your feet are swollen. He said, should I not be a grateful servant? Should I not be a grateful servant? This was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's response. So read Salah slowly and fulfill the arkan. There was one reading, performing Juma in one masjid. And he was reading so fast. Is ruku, we just go into ruku and he's already coming up, like Subhan Rabbil Azim once, and then Subhan Rabbil Ala, and then one layman after Salah, he asked me, was all the Ta'dil Arkan fulfilled? The layman is asking me that the Maulana is reading Salah, the Ta'dil Arkan fulfilled? Is our Salah even accepted? And so when we are in the position of Imam, then we have to fulfill the hukuk of the Musallis. Especially in Taraweeh Salah, we see the people who are leading the Taraweeh Salah, they read so fast. First of all, the Qiraat is so haphazard. You can't even take out the person's mistake, because either he's reading in a mic so loud that he can't hear you taking out his mistake. He doesn't want you to take out his mistake because he wants to appear very good in front of the Musallis, that, you know, he didn't make any mistakes. So the next rakat, then he'll correct the mistakes. He knows he made a mistake, so he reads extra loud. Or he's reading so fast that you can't even take out the mistake. And he's not even interested in listening to your luqmas. So, and then when they go into Ruku also is so fast, and in sajda so fast. And then now the other day somebody's complaining to me that tashahud also. Yes, they don't read Durud Ibrahim. The imams don't even read Durud Ibrahim in Taraweeh Salah. And now even in other salahs also, they I don't know why they're not fulfilling the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And send Durud upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they only read tashahud, make the wajibat and the faraid complete, and then make salah. And we have to read salah slowly, with humility, with humbleness. When we go into ruku, then we must stay in ruku. And what is ta'til arkan? Ta'til arkan is when you go into a position, then you must be at peace, itminan. You must be with sukoon in that position. And remember what you're saying, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Listen to the words that you are saying, and then you will get contentment. And read three times. You can read up to 17 times in your ruku and your sajda. You can read the tasbih up to 17 times. And so read it with itminan, with ease. And then you come up, Sami Allah. And some people, the uncles, you'll see, when they're coming up from ruku, and for some reason, they lift their trousers up. They lift their trousers up, and then they dive into sajda. They never even stand in qawma. They never stand. Qawma is the position between ruku and sajda. So when you come up from ruku, Sami Allah liman hamida, you must say, Rabbana lakal hamd, Rabbana walakal hamd, wa Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd. There is another dua longer than it. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan, so you can read. And so the purpose of reading the long dua is that so then you stand in ta'dil. Your body is at ease. Your body is calm. Your body is not moving. Your body must be still in that position. That is ta'dil arkan. So when you're coming up from ruku, and some people, they, what they do, they just go, Sami Allah wal hamdi, Rabbana lakal hamd. Rabbana lakal hamd, they didn't even stand up straight. They still bent like at a 45 degree angle, and then they jumping into sajda. So you have to come up, stand, and then you go into sajda. Then also going into sajda, what we do is we put our hands first. So there's a way of going into sajda also. And the sunnat way is, when you're going to sajda, so you first put your knees go on the ground, your hands must be on your thighs, and then your knees must go down first, and then your palms will go down, and then your forehead and your nose will go down onto the floor. And then you stay into sajda. Stay in sajda there. Subhana Rabbil Ala, Subhana Rabbil Ala, Subhana Rabbil Ala. Three times nicely with asani, with sukoon. And then you come up. And then even that position is called jalsa, between the two sajdas. We also have to apply ta'dil arkan. We have to be at ease there, full at ease. Rabbi ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. We must try to learn these words. Rabbi ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. One more time. Rabbi ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. That in jalsa, we read that dua. And we must make it a habit to read it. And it's easy to learn also. And then you go into the second sajda. So this is how you're supposed to read salah. If you look at our akabirin, they used to stand, look at Imam Abu Hanifa rahmanay, Imam Shafi rahmanay. Imam Abu Hanifa used to read the Fajr Salah with his Isha wudu. How do you do that? Is when you are involved in ibadah the entire night, then you can do that. So from Isha time, he started the Tahajjud Salah in two rakats, and he used to read the entire Quran in one rakat. One rakat, the first rakat is to complete the entire Quran. The whole night, imagine. And now we have to understand another point here, that the barakah, the blessings that Allah Ta'ala gives to the pious in their time. Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in the time of the pious servants of His. So, for us to read, say for example, the night is, if you're going to minus from Isha time, we'll have about maybe 9 hours, 8 hours, till Subah Sadiq, 8 and a half hours. In 8 and a half hours, myself, I can't complete the whole Quran, in 8 and a half hours. Even if you read the very, very fast, you won't be able to complete it. Because you're not going to fulfill you won't be making ada of the tajweed, the laws of tajweed, and your huruf won't be correct. So how they achieved it is because they were so close to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala put barakat in their time. Like some Buzurgan Din, when they used to get onto the horse, and they used to finish the whole Quran. And getting onto the horse, they used to finish the whole Quran. Now how You won't understand. I can't understand. We won't be able to understand. That is Allah Ta'ala putting barakat in a time. What work they can do in a short space of time, we can't do in our entire lives. And the awliya, they love for maybe 40 years or 50 years. But the amount of kitabs they wrote, and you need maybe 200 years to write those kitabs. So that is barakat in time. So when we standing in salah, so Imam Abu Hanifa used to read the whole Quran in one rakat, the entire night standing. And Imam Shafi also used to read one Quran khatam every day. One Quran khatam every day. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal used to spend one third of the night in salah, and the other third he used to writing and searching masail and what is kutub. So these pious people, they used to involve themselves in salah. Look at Hazrat Rabia Basriya, Rahman alayha, such a pious waliya of Allah Ta'ala. She used to read hundreds of rakats of salah every day. Hundreds of rakats. And then when she used to get a headache or she used to fall ill, she used to read extra rakats. Extra salah. You know, when we are sick, then we are complaining, we in bed there, and we, you know, everybody must come and serve us and rub our head and put zambak and vicks and everything. She used to get up and read more salah. Say, Ma Allah, my Rabb is remembering me, so I must read more salah. And my Rabb is thinking of me. That is why I must be at His service. I must be at His call now, because my Rabb knows that I'm sick and He wants me to be sick. So I must be more grateful to Him that, Ya Allah, You gave me sickness and You gave me health, so I must be grateful to You. And that is the thinking of the awliya. So reading salah haphazardly, reading salah very, very fast is not the way of the pious. And it does not even tick off the box of our salah. Because if you did not read your salah correctly, if you read your salah so fast and so haphazard, then that salah, when we make salam, that salah goes up to the heavens and it gets slammed down on our faces. And one pious person, after he used to read salah, used to hold his face. And people ask him, why are you doing it? He said, no, my salah was so terrible that the salah is going to get smashed onto my face. It gets flung like a dirty rag onto my face, onto a person's face, because he didn't read his salah correctly. Reading salah, then our minds are here in our business and our family and all other places. But our salah, our minds are not in our salah. So many people, they want to know, okay, now how do I read salah slowly? How do I get khushu and khudu in salah? So one answer is that when you're reading your salah, then contemplate on the words that you're reading. You think, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Then play it in your mind what you are reading. And don't read, we in the habit of reading short surahs. قُلْ اللَّهُ هَدُ قُلْ أَوْضُ رَبِّ لَكُلْ أَوْضُ مِنَّا You're reading four rakats, قُلْ أَوْضُ كَافِرُونَ Just read, وَتَبَّتْ جِرَاهُ to the end. And then we forget our other surahs. Because if we're not happy with the Quran, we're not going to remember the other surahs. So many, many people, they don't know the other surahs because they're in the habit of reading all the short surahs. So that surah, وَالتِّينِ يُلَّانِ وَالضُّحَى لَمْ نَشْرَى إِقْرَى We don't remember it because we don't read it in salah. And tell the students also that when you're reading salah, read your surahs. It is the time you're going to get practice of your surahs. Because you're only reading the short surahs in salah. And even if you ask them to do practical salah, what do you start with? قُلْ أَوْضُ رَبِّ فَلَقْ They start with surah Falak and surah Nas. And that shows you that they're not reading the other surahs. So we have to read the surahs we know in our salah. Even if it's a few surahs. And if we have the Quran, then we must read longer rakahs, longer surahs. And my asatiza, they used to tell me that they used to read, when you see tahajjud, then they used to read a certain portion every night, so that in a month, then they read like one para every day in their tahajjud salah. And the door is pakka, the door is solid, because they're reading it in tahajjud salah. So we try to read complete our Quran in salah. Even if you can't finish at one para in your tahajjud salah, then during the day, reading our sunnah and nawafil, then we must make a habit of, we must try, inshallah, all of us, try to make our khatam, if you have the Quran, in our salah, divided between the five salahs in a day. Then if you come to the sunnah salah, then most of us don't read sunnahs. And so one youngster asked me in the week, so he says that in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was there sunnah salahs? You see, the sunnah salahs came about, why? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, besides the fara'id and the wajibat, he read certain rakats. And those rakats now, those salah that he read habitually, we call it sunnati rawatib or sunnah mu'akkada. And those which he left out sometimes, and sometimes he read it, sometimes he didn't read it, we call it sunnata ghair mu'akkada. And so this is how the fuqaha have divided and categorized the different salahs. And then you get the nawafil, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't always read. And so, for example, there's two sunnahs of Fajr. The sunnahs of Fajr is very, very important. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that even if horses have to run over you, you must not leave those two sunnahs out. So if you come to the masjid and you see the imam is in salah, and we have to start our sunnah. We have to start our sunnah before going to the imam. Unless the imam is now in Qaeda, and he's already in sitting position, now we know we're not going to get it. So what you do then we have to read our sunnahs after sunrise. And when it's Ishraq time, 20 minutes after sunrise, then we must read our qada of that Fajr sunnah. That is how important that sunnah of Fajr is. Then we look at Dhuhr sunnah. The four sunnahs of Dhuhr is very important. It's Mu'akkada. You have to read it. And people understand, no, it's sunnah. It's only sunnah. A'udhu Billah. You can't say it's only sunnah. It's the sunnah of Nabi Sassam. And Nabi Sassam used to read it. And so how can we say it's only sunnah? We can't use words like this. It is istighfaf. You are watering down, you are taking lightly the sunnah of Nabi Sassam. And Allah Ta'ala says that you must follow my Nabi. And if you in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni, if you love Allah, then follow my Rasul. If we don't follow the Rasul, how can we gain closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the four sunnahs of Dhuhr, we have to read. If we miss it out after the farad, then we have to fulfill that four sunnah. And after the faraid, four faraid, then we have to read our two sunnahs. And two sunnahs, we have to read two nafil. It's also there. So why did Allah ta'ala make all these sunnahs and nawafil? That on the day of Qiyamah, if we are short of our faraid, because we read so haphazard, so we definitely have holes in our salah that we need to fill. And how do we fill that if we did not read our sunnahs? If our faraid are so torn and tattered, and we don't read our sunnahs and nawafil, then how are we going to patch up those faraid in order for us to enter into Jannah? Because the first question will be about our salah. If we didn't read our salah, our salah is not in order, then we go straight to, A'udhu Billah, Allah Ta'ala save us, straight to Jahannam. Because our faraid is the most important. And our faraid are not done, and we didn't read our sunnahs and nawafil, then how are we going to compensate for those faraid? So the four sunnah, in Asr salah, if you want the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, then you must read your four sunnahs of Asr. And many of us don't read the four sunnahs of Asr. And so we have to start reading the four sunnahs of Asr. It's very, very important. And then the four faraid, then Maghrib Salah also, two sunnahs after Maghrib, two Nawafil. The Awliya, they have a habit of reading the Awwabin Salah and 12 rakats, between 4 and 12 rakats of Awwabin. You get, 12 years of Ibadat. 12 years of Ibadat, full Ibadat, of fasting, salah, zakat, everything, 12 years. So we must take advantage of these. For example, we take the Ishraq salah and get and look at the salat al-duha, the charge salah, accepted umrah and hajj, and accepted umrah and hajj, just reading four rakat salah, four rakat. Then we have the Maghrib salah, our Isha salah, four sunnahs, ghair mu'akkada before, and then what we do normally is we just read our faraid, four faraid, right? Then we read our two sunnahs and three witr, and then we go home. And if you look at some of the people in the masjid, they're like in a hurry to get out of the masjid. Why? You know, that is the sign of nifaq. That when a person is in the masjid, a Muslim who is in the masjid, he is like a fish in water. A fish in water, he doesn't want to jump out of the water. He wants to stay in the water because that is survival. He's in water. And a munafiq, a hypocrite, is when he's in a masjid, he's like a fish out of water. Because he needs to get out. he needs to get out into the water which is outside the masjid. His water is outside the masjid, so he wants to get out. He wants to go into his water in the dunya. So a mu'min, he wants to stay in the masjid because that's his water, his fish tank is there inside the masjid. And the munafiq hypocrite's fish tank is outside the masjid because he doesn't want to be there in the masjid. So we want to, especially Jummah, after the farad, people just, they don't read four sunnahs. They read two sunnahs and then they rushing and then they standing in front of you and then they're waiting now who's going to finish your salah and they want to run out. And why do we want, and then if you see the person's running out and he stands outside and he talks. He's talking outside there, but he could have stood inside the masjid and read his sunnahs properly and read his nafas properly. But he creates that impression that he has a lot of work to do. He's very busy. He needs to rush out. Rush out and then talk to people outside. And he'll spend 15, 20 minutes and all the cars will be gone and he'll be standing and talking there. But Shaitan kept him away from reading his sunnah there in Nawafil with the false impression that, no, I got a lot of work, I have to go. And the people must think, you know, I'm very busy in life. But then you're not busy. You're busy with doing nothing. So we must not fool ourselves. And we can't fool Allah Ta'ala. And we mustn't even fool ourselves because like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, read Salah as you see me reading Salah. And how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read Salah? We explain how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read Salah. He read Salah for so long that his Mubarak feet was swollen. That is how long Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read Salah. So when we read our Salah, we must read it slowly with humbleness, khushu, khudu, and we must contemplate on the words we are reading and the qiraat, and then we must try to learn. In fact, we must make it a point that we must learn the masnoon du'as. For example, the du'a in jalsa, and then the lengthy du'a in qawma. We must endeavor to learn these du'as because the more words you read, the more reward you get. And the more reward you read, the more reward you get. So, inshallah, we only covered one point. Alhamdulillah, one point of this year. And if a person does not read his, if a person who reads his salah haphazardly, then that person will lead a life of poverty. You will lead. So you see, people who appear to be wealthy and rich and prosperous in life, that they have the best house, they have the biggest house, the biggest car, the most expensive car, the best clothes they wear, but they are not happy. They are not happy, and they're actually poor because why? They owe all that to the bank. When their salary comes in, it's gone out in debit orders already. And then they have, somebody told me now, on eBay, that they are affluent areas, and they're in Rustenburg, that those people, they get food handouts, they get food hampers, and they are so grateful. You know, people who are living in elite areas with expensive cars and houses, they are taking food hampers because after the 7th or 10th of the month, they don't have food. They don't have money to buy food because all their money went on debit orders to live that high and sky-high life, to show everybody and to show the world that we are living, we are very rich. But they're not rich, actually poor. So Allah Ta'ala save us from all these snares and traps of shaitan. Allah Ta'ala guide us and give us a tawfiq to read salah with khushu and khudu.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Farhan Karani. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.